Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Is John McCain changing his position on affirmative action for the presidential campaign? This question has arisen in the last few days because of some comments that he made on Sunday. Here's how CNN tells the story. They say both John McCain and Barack Obama say equal opportunity should not be based on quotas, but neither side has said how to reach equality without them. Obama accused McCain on Sunday of flip-flopping on affirmative action after McCain said he supports a measure in Arizona that would dismantle race and gender-based preference programs. Obama pointed to McCain's past opposition to similar proposals, like one in Arizona in 1998, that McCain called divisive. So let's try to figure out exactly what's going on here and also look at this ballot measure in Arizona. With us now are Howard Fisher, chief correspondent for the Capital Media Service in Arizona, and Ron Christie, vice president of DC Navigators, a lobbying and public relations firm headed by Mike Murphy, who led the 2000 presidential campaign of Senator John McCain. So Ron Christie and Howard Fisher, thank you for joining us. Welcome to WNYC today.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Mr. Fisher, let me start with you. Describe what it is that they're hoping to put on the ballot, the proponents of the measure in Arizona.
In essence, it would say there will be no discrimination against or preferential treatment to any individual on the basis of race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin in three areas: public employment, public education, or public contracting. The idea is that whatever programs there are out there, and there don't seem to be that many in the state, that you would not be able to take these factors into account. This is basically a carbon copy of what Ward Connolly pushed through years ago in California. Now he's going ahead and trying this in several states, including Arizona.
So there's some confusion about McCain's position. On ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, McCain was asked if he supports that referendum. McCain said he backed the measure. Ron Christie, then Senator McCain, seemed to try to walk away from it, from that statement. So can you clarify for us what his position actually is?
Well, not being a spokesman for Senator McCain's presidential campaign or for his Senate office, I'm not going to purport to speak for the senator. What I can tell you is that 10 years ago, when asked about this issue, Senator McCain said the following. He said, rather than engage in divisive ballot initiatives, we must have a dialogue and cooperation, mutual efforts together to provide for every child in America to fulfill their expectations. Now, Senator McCain has long said that he opposes a quota system, and I believe Senator Obama has said much the same thing. But to suggest that 10 years later, because he now supports a ballot initiative in Arizona that will take away racial preferences, when he has always said that he's opposed a quota system, I don't think is inconsistent.
And part of the problem here becomes a definitional question of what is affirmative action. I mean, I also covered McCain's speech back in 1988, and it was very clear that while he made that exact quote, he also specifically refused to criticize a ballot measure that was being proposed that year that would have done essentially the same thing as we have on the ballot this year. So the question, again, becomes, is affirmative action equal opportunity? Is it guaranteeing diversity? Is it taking handicapped situations, if you will, into account, hardships into account? And I think that's where the question comes, is has anyone changed the position? You know, for example, one of the things that McCain said when he was running for president in 99 is that you should base affirmative action programs on income and not on race. He made the point specifically that there are poor white kids in Appalachia just as there are poor inner-city Hispanics in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And you know, should they get different treatment than, let's say, a black kid who has had all the benefits and doesn't need special treatment?
So McCain Well, Howard, should I interpret from that that McCain was trying to have it both ways a little bit in 1998 when that last ballot measure was on by calling it divisive but saying he supported the idea of it?
Well, a politician having it both ways, I'm shocked. Shocked to hear you suggest that.
I've never heard of such a thing before, but he's running for president.
Yes, well, but he, and again, same thing, he was running for president, this 1999 speech where he basically said, well, I don't necessarily support the initiative in 98. I don't necessarily oppose the initiative in 98, but and I'm definitely opposed to race-based hiring quotas, and I think both candidates are pretty clear on that. The question becomes, you know, he says he supports affirmative action and working together. Well, who doesn't? I mean, you know, you could probably ask any candidate from any party in any year, do you support working together? Sure.
So, Ron Christie, how different from your GOP point of view are McCain and Obama on this issue? Obama was asked about this on Sunday as well, and he says he's a strong supporter of affirmative action when properly structured so that it is not just a quota, which sounds similar to McCain's position. Obama went on to say if you've got 50% of African American or Latino kids dropping out of high school, it doesn't really matter what you do in terms of affirmative action. Those kids are not getting into college. And Obama said he does not see affirmative action as a long-term solution to the country's race problems. So do we have an issue difference here between McCain and Obama?
Honestly, I don't think we do. I think the devil is in the details, and I think what both senators who are running for president right now have said is very similar. I think that they're both very consistent that they oppose a quota system. I'd take slight variance with Senator Obama's comment that obviously affirmative action is not a long-term solution. I don't think it's a solution at all, but I do agree with Senator Obama's statement where he says if you've got 50% of Hispanic and African American children who aren't graduating from school, you've got a problem, and you've got to find a way to address that. And candidly, I think in the long term, this is an issue the two candidates are not going to want to delve too deep in because, one, it's still a very divisive issue in the country, and two, I think Senator Obama does not really want to delve into issues of race because he's tried to transcend that in his campaign, and three, and perhaps most importantly, I don't think either of these really two candidates have a firm grasp on what their definition of affirmative action is, what it stands for, and really how they should address it.
Well, since neither of them wants to address it, good for George Stephanopoulos for bringing it up when he was interviewing McCain on Sunday and then for the other reporters who asked Senator Obama. Ron Christie, Vice President of D.C. Navigators, lobbying and public relations firm, headed by Mike Murphy, who led the 2000 McCain for President campaign, and Howard Fisher, Chief Correspondent for Capital Media Service in Arizona. Thanks, both of you, for coming on today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, for all the coverage of Obama's trip overseas and all the global issues it touched on, a couple of bizarre tidbits linger in the gotcha file. As Maureen Dowd wrote it up, the German tabloid Bild sent an attractive blonde reporter to stalk Obama at his hotel gym when he went to work out. She never identified herself as being with the media. She got a picture of him and wrote about what his gym shirt smelled like. Obama said afterwards he felt like he had been played and hustled by this woman. And the written prayer that he left in the Western Wall, Judaism's holiest site in Jerusalem, the piece of paper was snatched out by a student at an Israeli religious school and published in the Israeli newspaper Ma'ariv. The Wall's chief rabbi complained that the newspaper violated Obama's privacy with God. According to the New York Sun, Ma'ariv defended itself by saying the privacy of Obama's prayer didn't matter because he isn't Jewish. The New York Post had a handwriting analyst to opine that some of Obama's prayer was insincere because he spaced his words too far apart. So journalism in this campaign includes sending an undercover blonde to try and flirt with Obama and see what she can get him to do, and snatching his prayer from the Western Wall. Is anyone doing this to McCain? It's just a good thing for the Republicans that Rudy Giuliani didn't get the nomination, with his son Andrew now being booted off the Duke University golf team for being a bully. Can you imagine the like-father-like-son reporting? But I thought we would use the Western Wall incident to talk for just a few minutes about the significance of the site. So with us is Zev Chaifetz, a former Israeli government official, former Daily News columnist, and current New York Times Magazine contributor. He's the author of A Match Made in Heaven, American Jews, Christian Zionists, and One Man's Exploration of the Weird and Wonderful Judeo-Evangelical Alliance. Hi, Zev. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Nice to be back.
For those not familiar with the Western Wall, why is this such a holy site in Judaism?
It's a remnant. It's the only standing remnant of the temple. That's the reason. For a long time...
The ancient Second Temple, which was destroyed in, what, the year 70 AD, something like that?
Yeah. And over history, Jews have gone there to pray. And since 1967, when Israel conquered it, along with the rest of East Jerusalem, a big plaza was created there. And it's become a place of sort of national, and in recent years, more national religious symbolism in Israel.
How long is the wall remnant at this point, and how high?
You got me. I mean, it's long enough so that there's an exposed part with a women's prayer section separated from a men's prayer section, and it can accommodate thousands of people, and then... Beyond it, there's underground parts of the wall which have been excavated. And it goes down quite a long way, and it goes up maybe 40, 50 feet, but I'm not positive.
And people slip written prayers on pieces of paper into the wall?
Yeah, that's a custom.
Do they give you a little special piece of paper when you go?
No, you have to bring your own paper. I noticed that Obama wrote his on King David stationery, the King David Hotel stationery, which, might have been an effort to impress God, actually.
That he could stay at the top-flight five-star Jerusalem hotel. Millions of people must have done this. How does all that paper fit?
Well, you slip them into the cracks of the wall. There are lots of cracks. And then a couple of times a year, the rabbis collect all of them. And at one time, I believe they burned them on Mount Zion with the theory that the prayers go up to heaven that way. Lately, I think that they've been burying them or secreting them in some other place where no human eyes can see them. But that's they clear it out of there every 6 months, and I think they're going now to a four-month system because they've had a lot of volume.
We looked it up, and the above-ground portion of the Western Wall stretches for 1,600 feet, just so people can have a sense of it, but most of which is hidden behind residential structures built along its length. So when people say Western Wall, it commonly refers to about 187 feet of that exposed section of the ancient temple. Now, do you want to tell the world... what you wrote? I assume you've done this.
Look, I've done it a couple of times, and if the Obama campaign had checked with me, I could have told them that it doesn't help.
Doesn't help get you elected.
It doesn't help. It doesn't. Your prayers don't get answered.
But your prayers don't get answered.
That's correct.
Oh,
that's at least in my case.
How sacrilegious! I've done it. It was about 20 years ago, and I have no idea what I wrote at the time. No recollection. I'm hoping that Ma'ariv finds and publishes it so that it can jog my memory.
Well, it's possible that they will, or maybe somebody, from a rival network has it. But the most famous one, my favorite one of all time, was a kid who wrote a prayer in there that was taken out by a journalist, and it was, "Dear God, please kill my teacher."
Ouch.
So, I think there's a very broad variety of requests that go into that.
I guess so. So there's another example of the prayer being taken out and looked at. Is it unheard of to publish the prayers of prominent people?
I don't remember it ever happening. Now, Ma'ariv is saying that the Obama campaign approved that prayer for publication and handed it out, actually, before Obama went to the Western Wall.
Oh, that would be a new position for Ma'ariv. That wasn't in the New York Post article I read over the weekend or the New York Sun article the other
day. Right, they just said that today, and it's in the Jerusalem Post. That's where I saw it in English. And I checked with some friends in Israel just before the broadcast, and they told me that is what Ma'ariv is saying. The part about him, Barak, not being Jewish, is actually a legal issue. Somebody is threatening to sue Mariv for the violation of religious privacy. And evidently there's a law in the Israeli code which says that synagogues or Jewish religious places have to preserve privacy for Jews. And since Barack Obama is not Jewish, I guess he doesn't fall under the protection of that,
well,
that, of that law.
That's kind of a weird law. I don't think we could have that law in the United States, could we?
Israel's got a lot of laws that America can't have, and America's got a lot of laws that Israel can't have.
And the chief rabbi of the Wall complained about Ma'ariv publishing this. The Wall has a chief rabbi of its own?
Oh, yeah. The Wall has a chief rabbi and a bunch of deputy chief rabbis. And they,
What do they do?
Well, they make sure that, you know, that the right people pray there. They don't let women and men mix together. They don't let unauthorized groups of Reform or conservative Jews gather for official prayers. They make sure that the garbage is picked up. You know, they collect money for one yeshiva or another. They have a lot of duties.
I think you're. Somebody told me you're a McCain supporter. I don't know if you're out one way or another.
I haven't voted in an American election in only once in my life.
Okay. So
I'm not.
So forget that. But is this kind of thing, the way Obama is being stalked by the woman working for Build and having this prayer pull out? I mean, is there something unique about the way this guy's being treated?
Well, he's a unique guy. I mean, I saw pictures of him. I guess everybody did. I think last summer on vacation without a shirt on. And I think that he is, you know, flaunted as anybody, you know, that physically prepossessing up against a guy like McCain would flaunt his, you know, his physical conditioning and his, all that. It's part of his story. And that he was taught to box by his stepfather in Indonesia, and he's a, you know, he plays basketball. So if you invite that kind of, you know, interest in your workouts, I think you're probably going to get people who want to see you do it.
You didn't smell his gym shirt, though.
Well, that's something that's between her and God. And if she wants to, you know, put a prayer in the Western Wall asking God's forgiveness, I think she should.
Zev Chaffetz, New York Times Magazine contributor, is the author of The Match Made in Heaven, American Jews, Christian Zionists, and One Man's Exploration of the Weird and Wonderful Judeo-Evangelical Alliance. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will play a few excerpts from a new movie about a New York family that was so desperate to make ends meet that they started smuggling illegal immigrants across the Canadian border into New York. Stay with us.